And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM. Broadcasting to Hamilton via radio and to the rest of the world at cfmu.mcmaster.ca. We just had Hamilton Taxi Talk, and we mentioned to tune in 2 weeks from now. That'll be our last episode of the year. We'll be taking 2 weeks off at that point, so we're going strong until that point. And we do have with us right now Phil Taylor from the Taylor Report. Phil has been following WikiLeaks very closely. Let's see if we've got him on the line first. Hey, Phil.
Yes, how are you doing?
You can hear me. Great, perfect. Okay,
yep.
Thanks. So we've got Phil in Toronto, and he is the host, of course, of the Taylor Report on CIUT-FM. What we have is a special interview today about WikiLeaks. We often play Phil's programs here, and this week we wanted to take a special focus because I understand we're not really satisfied here with the mainstream coverage of WikiLeaks. In a sense, it looks like some people are being taken along for a ride.
But, yeah.
We're dealing with a lot of leaked diplomatic cables here, and they're from various sources like embassies, the State Department, and so on. And again, this is a big issue we're all paying a lot of attention to, but on the other hand, there's a lot we're not getting. So first, I wanted to just take a brief look at the sort of things that the media has been focusing on in terms of WikiLeaks. A lot of it is stuff we already know, it seems, information we already have. One of them is Saudi Arabia's regime is corrupt. They have big, lavish, expensive parties involving drugs and sex. I mean, you can see that in movies like Syriana or films.
Yeah, that's certainly not news.
No, it's not news, but a lot of this is reported as news. And the other thing that we get a lot of is sort of rumors, banal stories about U.S. diplomats and what they might be saying about the ambassador in Paris, or you know, the French president, or the Russians. There's a lot of name calling and innuendo that the media loves to focus on because it's the kind of embarrassing celebrity stories they specialize in. But there, you know, what we're not getting amidst all of this are some of the biggest diplomatic incidents and issues that have happened in the last year or two. I know one of them is Joe Biden's visit to Israel. There is a lot of controversy surrounding the VP and the president's contact with Israel recently, because that was when Israel started expanding the settlements again in the middle of those negotiations. Obama had to take a relatively serious position towards Israel's intransigence on that issue, and there was a lot of political cartoons. You might have seen cartoons of Obama getting spanked by Netanyahu or whipped or whatever. And, you know, so there's obviously a lot of discussion on that, but seemingly nothing on that in WikiLeaks. It wasn't really touched upon or addressed. You can't really find much so far that I've heard about. There's also the time when General Petraeus, I think this was towards the beginning of the year, he had suggested that Israel, its behavior in the Middle East, was endangering the perception of the United States among Arabs, among Muslims, that it was having negative consequences. Obviously, there must have been a lot bubbling under the surface when that announcement came out. There was nothing on that from WikiLeaks that I can tell. And the biggest one, perhaps, is when that senior Hamas leader was assassinated in Dubai. We remember seeing that in the news. There was photos, passports, all this big discussion, Israeli passports in that case. It was a huge diplomatic incident. So you'd expect that there'd be diplomatic cables on that. But that turned out not to be the case so far as well. Most of this was pointed out in an article in Palestine Chronicle by Susan Abulhawa. It's a good article. I think I'll give out where people can find that. But so we're not getting that. What we are getting then, it seems that we're getting a lot of reinforcement of views that already existed in the mainstream media, in the New York Times, in the State Department, and so on. And of course, the big focus there is on Iran. And there's highlighting and demonizing certain governments the U.S. doesn't like. In this case, I remember checking The Guardian the day after the documents became available. Out of 9 articles listed, most of them concerned Iran. And I could read off headlines, but basically, is that the impression you got too? There was a huge focus on every rumor about Iran from nuclear sites and what Arab governments thought. There are too many.
It seemed like a restatement of policy with the added flair of panache that gossip and vivid quotes that come out of the air on it. Even if they're attributed, you don't know if the person actually said any of these things. But it all went to reinforce U.S. Policies. And it's a very curious phenomenon. On the one hand, I mean, Mr. Assange of WikiLeaks, it seems to be in a lot of trouble. But on the other hand, as the New York Times said, Hillary Clinton is taking the lemons and turning them into lemon juice and put a lemonade, and it's certainly true. For example, the New York Times went with a story. It said, is she the cable show that North Korea, one of the evil states, had provided Iran, another one of the, quote, evil states, with long-range missiles, and a quote from the text. Well, fortunately, there are people alert, and, you know, we have a new situation with media. I mentioned people who are alert. The mainstream, the more powerful people, the Times and the CNN and Fox and all that, they're going to tell a story the way they want to tell it. But the other people who are using the internet and whatnot and doing research and a lot of great blogs and people like Stephen Gowans and others, they actually operate as a monitor, but they don't operate as a dam against this. They can't control or prevent the New York Times from misrepresenting a cable. Mr. Assange and his gang, whatever they are, they release something. Then the Times takes it and falsifies what's in there, knowing that their readers are just going to take whatever they say as the case. But what those who looked into the cables about those missiles said was that there actually isn't the cables also included the point that there is no confirmation of this. People have heard it's a rumor, or so and so thinks, and it's his opinion. However, they also pointed out that there were others following the same phenomenon. This is before it's a public story, but they said the cable said Russian intelligence is discussing this, and the Russians, who are experts on missiles as well as anybody else, said the missile that's being talked about doesn't actually exist. That there are types of missiles, and there are drawing board missiles, and there are speculation about a kind of, but the missile that allegedly, and this is, we're talking about a long-range missile, which is why the New York Times was able to blare it, make a big front page out of it, was that this long-range missile allegedly had passed from Korea to Iran, which meant that Iran now would be on the hit list if you were to define who to hit based on the Iraqi experience. When it was Blair, actually, Tony Blair, who said, well, now we know that Saddam has the means to strike London and Europe. Well, of course, that means you're absolutely on a war alert. You've convinced your people that now you have to do something by telling that story. But, as again, those who look closely at those cables said, well, actually, we're not even sure they exist. I mean, they're... Certainly, the people passing on the cable would have no idea whether the cable is true, and the authors of some of those cables said we don't have any confirmation. However, the Times took the lemon and turned it into lemonade. Oh, look, they've got it, and that feeds right into a policy which has been escalating on the U.S. side of trying to isolate, confront, and destroy the Islamic Republic. It's just no question that's what they want to do. Well, so when we see, WikiLeaks, blah, blah, we ought to all keep in mind what is it we think about, needs to be done in the world. Most of us think there should be de-escalation in rhetoric, de-escalation in confrontations, and particularly, most of us believe that superpowers, certainly most Canadians, according to the polls, believe most superpowers need to have their claws trimmed because there's a kind of an adventurous tendency amongst them. And in the case of two of those states, the Islamic Republic and North Korea, something really ugly could happen, and it could happen quick. So now I'm not faulting the WikiLeaks per se, but the question is, how do we get the truth out, for example, on the missile story? And we're still really where we were before WikiLeaks came along. That is, we have people with, where there are websites and there are European sources and others. But in terms of North America, and Europe, there is the phenomenon remains of information dominance. And so, for example, when Mr. Assange, you know, dumps a bunch of material, those who can coordinate information to the Western states control that. So they simply pick through it, like somebody going through their neighbor's garbage, and they pick out what they want, and then they turn that. They say, well, you see, as you alluded at the beginning, you said the Saudis, somebody had the Saudis saying they wanted Iran to attack, to be attacked, pardon me. Now, the leader of the Islamic Republic made a nice point. He said, I don't believe it. And, of course, he knows that he's standing on dry ground because there are embassies. He meets with the Saudis, so he looks them in the eye and says, do you want to attack me? And they say, no. And so what does he care about the neurotic gossip of a second, third echelon diplomat in a palace in Saudi Arabia? It really actually isn't relevant. It seems to me that in the way the Ahmadinejad spoke of that was the intelligent way to do it. If you want to know what a government thinks, ask them. Don't rely on spies and don't rely on cables and that kind of, because there are the designated people who speak, and there are the, every state actually outlines its views on practically every subject under the sun.
So many important points. It's hard to address them all, but one of those is that we do have an independent media here. We have an alternative media, and some people mm-hmm. have been thinking and making judgments or engaging in critical thinking on how the WikiLeaks releases have been interpreted by the media. Mm-hmm. In terms of the Arab states, as you've pointed out, the way that New York Times, Guardian, other all mainstream newspapers are reporting on it is that they're trying to say that Arab countries are uniting against Iran and they want it, the regime to collapse, etc. And of course, that's what Hillary Clinton has been saying for some time and what Bush was saying before her. You know, it's been the U.S. government and State Department position on that. So we're getting that position coming out of their diplomatic documents. But if you actually look into the issue, as you pointed out, I mean, we have Arab countries actually concerned about the dangers of a strike, that if there were to be a strike, that it's actually quite a serious issue. And there's not, you find out there's not the kind of cheerleading that you had been led to believe. I know that Gareth Porter had been one of those journalists looking at that, and he was writing in Counterpunch on that. And so he did a careful reading of the diplomatic cables, which actually gave a different story than what the New York Times gave. In fact, in another case regarding the North Korea and Iran missiles, Peter Hart pointed out the newspaper won't even publish what the cable says or what...
Exactly. Yeah, but it's, you know, we're being... I guess the word is filtered. They filter to us what they want us to... They say, this is what's in the document. What do you think of that? Well, what my reaction is, show me the document.
Yeah.
Don't tell me what's in it. You know, it's and that's peculiar. And in other words, we're still very much put upon here by our media. They're not very enthusiastic about transparency. They certainly, you know, when they write their editorials or when they pat themselves on the back or call themselves free and independent, they of course use those words, but they're all rather comfortable with Mr. Assange being arrested today. The Globe is kind of snickering about it. It's really strange, you know, because there's a guy in China they all love and they want to give him the Nobel Peace Prize. He hasn't done anything for peace that I'm aware of. He's said a lot of really disparaging things, some of them, by the way, in the form of WikiLeaks-style claims about the government and the corruption and leaders. He said all the things. Now, they pick him up under Chinese law according to, and say, well, he's in violation. Well, immediately, in Norway, they want to give him a peace prize, and now they're going to start judging states by whether or not they attend the ceremony for him. But Mr. Assange goes in, rather obviously because of who he is, in his public life, but they say, oh, no, he can't even get bail at the moment.
Well, it's like they want to have it.
You know, the charges are not that serious, and he's never said he wouldn't appear, but they, but they want to question him. So why all these people who care about, who say, well, give the prize to this guy in China, why don't you give it to Assange? Your same reasoning. Well, and no, you say, well, you see, and by the way, WikiLeaks has even been used oddly in that debate. They say, oh, according to the cables, the Chinese are doing their best to suppress Google. And so you have to ask, you mean in the way that you're doing your best to suppress Mr. Assange and his group? And by the way, I mean, another thing we need to point out, and some people have been saying this, everybody seems to be losing their grip, and the general population of Canada, the United States, need to take stock of this. We have elected officials, we have powerful people in the media who are talking about murdering people. He should be murdered. My God. You know, you say, we must have gone through a couple of intersections. I must have been asleep. I didn't, you know, that people can talk that way. If you think someone's broken the law, according to states that pride themselves on being civilized and having laws, then you're apprehended and charges are made and you're allowed to answer. But we have people, very powerful people in the United States, who say, well, take him out. It's like they're losing. This is a remark made by the great British novelist Le Carré, who was himself a professional spy for a long time. He says America is going stark, staring mad. I don't understand why everybody wants to join in with them. You know, we have the former president of the United States, George Walker. Not, is he Walker Bush? Which is, yeah, he's W. He said, yeah, I gave the order to torture, because my lawyer said we could do that. Wow, I mean, that's where the U.S. has a serious problem of political decadence. They've really actually reached a point where a someone who served in the highest office can talk about he gave the order to torture. That has to be a dark day in American history. I don't think any. I'm sure the torture went on in American history prior to Mr. Bush. But I've never in my life, in all my studies, I never seen any U.S. president saying he authorized illegal torture or physical mistreatment of anybody.
Well, they're certainly setting a precedent with Julian Assange. He's being arrested, and we know Obama has said it's also okay to kill U.S. citizens abroad who may be involved in terrorism. So,
yes, that'd be Mr. Obama.
Mr. Nobel Peace Prize Obama.
Yeah, by the way, let's just stop and say something about the Nobel Prize. The Nobel Prize is a political instrument. We should remember Menachem Begin was given the Nobel Prize. Teddy Roosevelt got the Nobel Prize. He's the guy who said walk softly and carry a big stick, and it's used in a political way, and they did have a great moment once in the Nobel Prize when they awarded it to Jean-Paul Sartre, and you know it includes $1 million, which is that's a lot of bait on the hook, but he said, I'm not going to accept that prize. I've criticized people in the past for taking prizes in order to advance political agendas. And so I cannot accept and won't accept a prize of this type, because all it is what would be enlisting my name so that they can, while awarding prizes, can push political agendas that I don't agree with. So he said, no, I'm not taking the prize. And I mean, I respect that. I think we should be saying, you know, urging more and more, it should be part of our political exchanges about how this culture operates, to say, don't accept these prizes, because the prizes are designed to heighten the profile of the awarding group, and they become the arbiters of who's a good person, who's a bad one. Now, Mr. Obama can be running two wars. He gets a Nobel Prize. You know, somebody who might have actually prevented a war somewhere, he's not even under consideration, because of the political agenda of the people who give these prizes out. So,
well, I guess we're all in danger of drinking from a poison chalice, whether it be accepting a Nobel Prize.
Yeah, who used that line? I recognize that. Was somebody? Oh, yes, the man at Nuremberg, Jackson. But was he quoting something from the Bible? I don't know. That was Prosecutor Chief. He was the judge of the U.S. Nuremberg Court. chief judge.
Weighty matters to think about.
He said, be careful about what you do to other people, because you are then drinking from the poison chalice. If you break the law to get them, then you are in the same boat with them.
Right.
So.
Well, again, it's important to be critical about all the developments, whether it's the Nobel Prizes.
We should just stay with our own agendas. If we, like your program and others, I mean, you discuss peace and war and mutual respect among states and that kind of thing. People should remember that. When they get a flood of gossipy, salacious, and sensational talk, in which the point of which is to change your opinion and make you into more likely to be support a war against somebody or to mistreat someone.
Yes. Well, we
should hang on tight to our principles.
Yes.
I mean, well, and on Assange, I don't think he should be arrested. But I don't know what his politics are. I say that, you know, sure, just look at the cables and make up your own mind. But understand, you will never be separate from the filter unless you go and look yourself.
Yes, actually looking at the
cables. Do your own homework. Mm-hmm. Just like with the kid. Don't do the kid's homework. Tell him to do his own.
Yeah, well, I'll point out for our listeners some places where they can look at some critical analysis, get started on that. So I'll send them off to that. I know you've been touching on some of that. You've been looking into some of the better ones. So thanks for that, and thanks for bringing this to our attention. This is quite thorough. It's your own. It's a big leak, in a sense, on what's going on with WikiLeaks. So
yes.
And I'll try to point people to where they can find such information.
Oh, good. Good for you. Thanks very much.
Oh, thank you, Phil.
Okay.
You have a good week. Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that, of course, Phil Taylor from the Taylor Report. He's been looking into interpreting WikiLeaks, how the media deals with it. We got to go now. So I'm just going to say there's a couple good articles. Look at Gareth Porter in Counterpunch. He wrote an article called "The Times Account Seriously Distorted the Content." It's Gareth Porter, G-A-R-E-T-H, Gareth Porter. WikiStink is another funny article looking at some of the discrepancies here. It's just WikiStink by Susan Abulhawa. And there was one more, and that was Peter Hart in Monthly Review Zine. That's MRZine, M-R-Z-I-N-E. It's New York Times oversells WikiLeaks Iranian missile story. And that's about how the media sort of blew that out of proportion. All very important reading. Anyway, we'll catch you next week. So thanks for listening, and catch you later.